The following presentation was recorded at the 2010 Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute. More information at thedocforlearning.org.
Well, good morning to everyone. We welcome you to this title, I'm on the Board Now What. You are welcome to move on up if you would like. I would like a little bit of, I'm going to lecture for a little bit, and then I want to open it up for discussion. We don't have any time on here for discussion. But let me ask you a question. Which one of these is correct? The top one or the second one? Does 2 plus 3 times 7 equal 35? Or does 2 plus 3 times 7 equal 23? Let me ask you, which one of those is correct? How many think the top one is correct? How many think the bottom one is correct? How many don't want to guess? Well, see, that's typical. You come to school boards, and a question is given, and we wonder. There is one correct answer, and there is one incorrect answer up there. Before I answer that one, though, let me ask you a question. Is this neither or is it neither? How many thinks it's neither? How many think it's neither? How many thinks it's either one? Well, let me tell you about both of those. First of all, one of the things that a school board is to do is to figure out lots of things. Those of you who know the principles and rules of mathematics knows that the top one is wrong. 2 plus 3 times 7 does not equal 35. Why doesn't it? Because the rules of math is like this. You do multiplication first, and then addition and subtraction. That's the rules that are there. Most of you would have got it right if I had did this. Now, the rules of multiplication are you do of math is you do multiplication in the division first in the order in which they come in the problem, and then you do addition and subtraction in the order that they are in the problem. The point is, if you don't use the right rules, you'll come out wrong. On neither and neither, how many Germans do we have here? Well, this morning I had to do a little homework, okay? I understand that in the English language, when you talk about vowels, you have two, the second one is silent, the first one becomes long. If you're English, it is neither. In German pronunciation, their rules is the first vowel is silent and the second one is long. If you're German, it's neither. That's where that comes from. Now, the point of that whole thing is this. When you have rules and you have things that you do in life, find out why you do what you do. How many of you have a little book that looks something like this for your schools? How many of you know what's in there and what it stands for? Let me read something. Law. Law is one of the most basic social institutions and one of the most necessary. No society could exist if all people did just as they pleased without regard for the rights of others. Nor could a society exist if its members did not recognize that they also have certain obligations toward one another. School boards, basically what you are here for is to interpret all those rules and regulations that you have come up with for your school. What are my responsibilities? This morning I would like to give us a couple of ideas of what we are to be doing as board members. Okay. If you want to hear, you're going to have to move forward. Evidently, I'm not talking loud enough. Okay. Give you a minute or two here to move forward. You know, many times we think that boards are not necessarily even needed. We have our little book of guidelines. Why do we need any more than that? Well, you know, it's as simple, we do. The Bible says that there's two great commandments. What's the first one? Somebody tell me. Thou shalt what? Thy God with what? Okay, good. And what's the second one? Okay, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, we say that we don't need law. If we follow the Bible, we don't need law. Let me ask you a question. Jesus said that on those two commandments that you just mentioned hangs all the law and the prophets. If the Holy Spirit saw fit to write that whole book right there to explain what it means to love thy Lord with thy heart, soul, and mind, and thy neighbor as myself, who are we to think that we don't need some direction? See, we do. School board members are put in place. I have three things here, and there could be more. One is to give direction. The school board is to give direction. The second thing that a school board is to do is it gives accountability. The school board gives accountability to teachers, to parents, to students, to ministry, to give accountability. And the third one that I have written here is to share responsibility. There are many, many things that is necessary to operate a school, and it's to share the responsibility that it takes to operate a school. What are members for? Responsible for? What are they to accomplish? I have three things under this one as well. One is to carry information between school, congregation, and ministry. They're to carry information between school, congregation, and ministry. They're to carry information between teachers and parents. They're to help make decisions. And the third one is to help carry out those decisions. The third one is probably the most difficult, really, is to carry out the decisions that you have made. How are we going to accomplish these things? How are we going to accomplish the idea of carrying information back and forth? How are we going to accomplish making the decisions? How are we going to accomplish carrying out those decisions that are made? Under how we're going to accomplish it, I have about seven points. One is, be at all the meetings. When you've been assigned to the board, one of the things that we need to do is to make that a priority. In fact, I'd like to say here that if we're not going to make that a priority, decline the nomination. Just decline it right up front. Or if you find that you're not able to be there because of other obligations, I hope I'm not saying this too strong, resign and leave somebody else that has time. But it's important to be at all the meetings there, so that you can be informed of what is taking place within your school. what's happening, how we're going to solve issues. And along with that goes a continuity. You know, all you have to do is miss one meeting. And at the next one, you're asking the question, what was that all about anyway? You lose that continuity. Most board meetings are about once a month. And I think that somehow we should be able to learn to schedule all of our other things around that date. Most school boards have a particular day of a particular week in which they meet. Schedule around that. I know there's always a few times that interferes with that, and we can't help that. Also, the second one I have is sit and listen for a while to learn the ropes. Okay, sit and just listen for a while to what is happening on this board. There was a board that was meeting, and there was a new member had put on, and they were full of enthusiasm. They were ready to get things done, ready to make it happen. And for some of those of you who have been on the board for a while, know sometimes things are easier said than done. There are principalities and powers that be that sometimes slow things down. And we have to work through those. It'd be nice if, you could make a decision about some sticky issues within your schools, and it would just happen. Well, just remember that Daniel, the prophet Daniel, was looking for an answer from God. The Bible says he waited at least 3 weeks. Why? Was it Daniel's fault? Was it God's fault? You know, what was to blame there? Well, in that particular case, it was in the spiritual realm, in the powers of be. Gabriel said that the prince of Persia got in my route, and Michael the archangel had to come and do battle. Now, what I'd like to point out there is, Gabriel, while he was an angel, had to deal with some powers that be. And while Gabriel was a messenger angel, it was Michael, the archangel, who was a warrior angel, that had to come and do whatever. You know, I don't know how spirits fight. I just don't. But that's what happened. And, you know, when we think about that realm, we need to learn patience as well. But, you know, when we sit on the board, it does us well just to sit and kind of get a feel for things for a little bit. What's happening? Where are the rest of these people coming from? What are they deciding? And why are they deciding that? You know, why are they saying neither? Or why are they saying neither? You know, what's, you know, those kind of things. Learn that. Another point I have here is fit in with the goals that have already been established at the institution. Okay, now you all come from different schools, different institutions. And while there's one general goal, most schools have a little different way of how we're going to reach that goal than other ones. And we need to learn to fit in with what has been established at this institution. That's one of the reasons we need to be looking out and looking for experience, looking for people that have had things bounced off of them, people that have had their corners rounded off for a while. You know, not just somebody that is a good orator. You can have somebody that's a very good orator, But when it comes to operating a school, there's something lacking there. So what you need is depth. And I'm going to just say it like this, depth of character. And it takes time for that to happen. It would be nice if the day that I became a Christian, that I was possessed with all the Christian graces there were. Well, I've been a Christian now for about 30 years. But there's many of the Christian graces that I still lack. Still need worked on. And that's one of the things that it's good for us to have a plural a board. We talked about accountability and responsibility. There is no individual that is invested with all the gifts that it takes to operate a school. You know, if all of the school board members were prophets, now, see, prophets see things in black and white. I mean, there's nothing in between. It's this way or that, nothing else. If you had a school board that was just full of that, how do you think the school would function? If you had a school board that all that was on there was those that were merciful. Well, yeah, it should be different than this, but, you know, we'll look over that. See, everything has to work together there. To fit in with the goals that have already been established at this institution, you know, you could talk about, well, how are we going to deal with Bible schools? How are we going to deal with vacations? How are we going to deal with, you know, sick days? All those kind of things. You know, your school has something established in there. And maybe it does need some tweaking. But I think we need to take some good time in figuring that out. It's already been talked about this morning was about visiting schools. As a school board member, visit your school. If you don't visit your school, let me ask you a question. How do you know what really goes on there? How many have been former teachers here? Okay, a few. You know, sometimes it's good to have a broad view of how our school operates. You know, I think it's good, you know, for a student, a teacher, and a board member, and have to deal with all three of those scenarios. It helps to round things out. It helps to round how we respond to different things. When we visit school, we observe students. We just heard a message on indicators of a healthy school spirit. You can go sit in on a classroom for a day, but sit in on classrooms for a week. Well, I think if you really want to know a little bit about that, go to school and go out on the playground and play with the children. You'll find out a little bit what the school spirit is at recess time or at lunchtime, listening to those conversations. You know, observe, visit school and observe your teacher's strong points, their weak points. And then as a board member, you can sit down and say, while I was visiting in your classroom, here are some very strong things I saw in your teaching that you did that was well done. The students were able to connect with that. But there was also some negative things I saw that maybe you ought to work on. You know, we all have blind spots that we don't think about, that others see all the time. You know, growing up, there were some certain things in our home that I didn't care for. And I told my children, well, there's a certain thing I just didn't put up with. You know, a very simple thing. I grew up on a farm, and my dad didn't care about batteries, whether they were dead or alive, it seemed like. And we were forever pulling or coasting tractors to start them. And I don't put up with that stuff. But I told my children, I says, I'm not going to put up with dead batteries, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's something that I do that you're not going to put up with. You know, see, some things are very acceptable to me that is not acceptable to other people. Sometimes that is okay in a home, but it's not okay in a school. See. And as board members, one of the things that you need to look out for is to see those things. And then also be mature enough to approach the teacher and say, here's a weakness I see in the way you do things or how you do things. And, you know, and go on with it there. As school board members, I think you should count it a privilege to serve God and your fellow man in this capacity. How many of you consider it a privilege to be a board member for your school? How many consider it to be a job, a drudgery? I knew I wasn't going to get any hands on that second one. There are times it is a drudgery. It is. There are things that you need to do that you do not like to do, but you need to do them anyway. But as we think about the privilege that we have here with having schools, it's a great privilege to serve your fellow men in your church for Christ in this responsibility. The thing about, if we look at it as a drudgery, it's actually a drain on the rest of the board. If somebody's there and you know that they wish they weren't there, it's a drain on the rest of us. I'm not on the school board, but I'll identify with you there anyway. On those kind of things. There's a lot of capacities within the church that is a responsibility that we should consider a privilege to be there. If we look at it as a position, it's going to be drudgery. But if we look at it as a God-given responsibility, it takes a whole different look at those kind of things. Another one I have here is, do not come with a personal agenda. Okay, don't come to board meeting with a personal agenda. Now, what I mean by a personal agenda, you're going to have to come with some ideas. But a personal agenda is just one that I hound meeting in and meeting out. You know, it's something that is draining in the end on our boards. You know, in this idea of don't coming with a personal agenda, but concede to the group decision. Okay, when the school board comes to a decision, concede that decision, even though that I may oppose that. We should be supportive of that. If we are not supportive of that, it creates a lot of difficulties in our communities. Cousin of mine served on a board at a nursing home in our community, and they raised the rent on the housing out around. At this nursing home, you could buy a cottage, and then you still had to pay a certain amount of rent to get your grass mowed and et cetera, all that good stuff. And they raised it, my cousin's aunts happened to live in one of these cottages. He stopped to visit them one time, and they asked him, is it true that you're raising the rent? And my cousin said, that was a board decision. I said, yeah, but how did you vote? He said, that was a board decision. Yeah, that was a board decision, but how do you personally feel about it? He said, that was a board decision. I want to tell you something. Brother Duane told that same story last year at this institute. But I want to tell you something. That is a very powerful tool for any board, any committee that you want to talk about. Brother Nathan mentioned that one of the things that are conducive to a sick school spirit is individualism. In that particular case, if my cousin would have ever revealed which way he voted, that would have killed a spirit that would be among that board. And in our schools, when we step out on the rest of the board like that, is what it does, it creates mistrust within the board. It gives a very negative impact. And it's not a very powerful tool with making a healthy school spirit within our congregations. In our discussions on our school boards, one of the things I think that we need to learn to do is to learn to state our opinion and then leave in a group discussion. State our opinion and let it there. Now, what I mean by leaving it there is let the group consensus direct our decisions. And when I'm talking about these kind of decisions, I'm talking about non-moral issues. I'm not talking about things that are black and white, about whether a student stole something, whether we do something about it. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is things that are non-moral. Okay, what are we going to do about vacation days? This family has relatives on the other side of the country. But because of the work situation, the husband is not able to get off during the summer. You know, how are we going to deal with all of this? See, one of the things that happens, if I'm not willing to state my opinion and then let it there, is, I guess I'll just leave a little bit of myself out here, is I think the people that do this evidently don't believe that the Holy Spirit can work in the rest of the people that's on the board, see. We need to state our opinion. And I'm not saying that we can't come back and restate it in our discussions. But I think we need to learn to refrain from, I'm going to use the term, shoving it down the rest of the board's throats. I'll just say it in plain English, okay? That sort of way, those sort of things. We need to leave everybody else, have that. And I'm not sure how many board chairmen are here, but it seems to me that it would be important for you as a board chairman to get everybody's opinions on that. And I'm not sure if this is in on this subject or not. I'm on the board now, what? But as chairman, I think there is a time when you may have to shut down a discussion to move on, to keep from dispiriting the meeting that is there. Okay. I'm going to open it up for discussion or questions. And I have a few other ones here, but I'm going to leave them rest. I want to give you opportunity. What are you looking for from a title like this? I'm on the board now. What should I do? How do I handle something? Anyone? Okay, you're pretty quiet here this morning. Okay, let me ask you a question. If you have your meetings, your school board meetings, and your teachers are there at your meetings, where I come from, the first part of the school board meeting is open to the general public. Teachers are pretty much required to be there for a short time, but any of the patrons are welcome to be there. They can come and put their input, questions, grievances, you know, whatever. They're open for that. So suppose that one of the teachers or one of your patrons come and they ask you a question as to if it's a teacher, how they should proceed in a certain situation where a child was misbehaving but wasn't quite at the point where you knew you should just take him out and discipline him, but yet you knew that he ought not be left go. And ask you that question. How would you answer that? I got a little input for this from some other board members and some teachers. Here's what a teacher told me. That when we ask a board a question, tell them not to sit there and hem-haw around. Well, I'm not sure. What do you think? Sits there. Well, I'm not sure. What do you think? And so it goes, round and round. If that happens, how should we deal with that? Okay, some of you that were here on boards that were 10 years or more, how you handle that one? Brother Bonner, how you handle that one? Okay. Teacher needs an answer. We ought to come up with one. But what if we don't have one right now? Now what do we do? When that happens, give them. Good. Okay. Good. I like that. Yeah. We'll get back. We'll get an answer within a reasonable amount of time. Give them a date. Give yourself a date that you got to find the answer for that. And get back. And that alleviates that. And that way, if you don't have an answer right now because you're not sure how the board is really thinking, we'll discuss that and we'll get back to you by a certain date. Going back to my little illustration here on neither and neither, I'm not a German student. I don't know German. You people that know Pennsylvania Dutch, you can talk about me and I won't know it, and that's all right, because you got to deal with the Lord on that one anyway. But I didn't know the answer to that, and I don't know, but I think it's good that when you do say something, you better have a good reason to say it. And actually this morning I had to go to 4 people to find out the answer to that question. I had heard about that it was in English, second vowel silent, first one's long, and in German that the first vowel is silent and the second one long. The school teacher, Eugene, asked him, I says, do you know German? No. I told him I had a grammar question. But he says, I know somebody that probably can. And he says, if he don't, he knows somebody that does. I had to actually go to the 4th person to really find an answer that could confirm that's the way that it is. See, if you don't have answers, call, talk, until you find the answer to the particular problem. Do your homework. We expect students to do homework. And they should. But if you want students to do homework, as school board members, we've got to do homework as well. See. Find out why you do what you do, the decisions that you make, so that you can give some good, concrete answers to them. Okay. I would just like to turn to the book of Daniel a little bit and talk about when difficulties come up for resolving some problems. I'd like to go to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, the story that is so familiar to us there. When Daniel was asked to do some things that he didn't feel is what God wanted him to do. In this particular case, it was eating the king's meat. And why Daniel decided that eating the king's meat was going to defile him, I don't know if he'd go into the Old Testament. I never looked into it. Maybe somebody here knows, but I never looked into it to see if the diet that the king had was actually against God's law. I don't know. Or if that was his own idea. But in verse 8, Daniel 1, it says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And yet at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in the flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat, and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse." Now, Daniel was a student. Melzar was a teacher. And the king was a school board member. I'm just paraphrasing that for the purpose of this illustration. Now, Daniel had a problem. He said he didn't want to defile himself. What was he going to do? His authority told him he had to eat the king's meat, but he didn't. He said, I'm not going to defile myself. So what did he do? How did he get through this? My question to you is this. How do you work through conflicts? When you run into a problem with a teacher, when you run into a problem with parents, how do you deal with it? See. What was one of the first things that Daniel did here? Besides purposing in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself, what do you see that he did with the eunuch? One of the first things he did was he wanted to find out what the real purpose of the eunuch's fear was. What did he fear the most? Anyone? What did the eunuch fear? The king and his head. Right. See, the eunuch really didn't care whether Daniel ate the king's meat or what he wanted to eat. But what he did care about was his own neck. Okay? So one of the first things you want to find out is really what is a student after? And you're going to have to ask lots of questions before you really find that out. If it's a parent that comes and ask questions to find out what his real grit is, you know, really what's grinding anyway, find that out. Because many times you'll discover that through the transition of information of what they are gritting about is off kilter anyway. It really was a side issue and misinterpreted is often what it is. To find out what the real intention of the other individual really is. Find out what his very basic aim is in coming. And you have to ask questions for that. And after you discover why he's really there, then you can see if there's, well, what are some solutions to it. Maybe one, there was misunderstandings. Perhaps that was a problem. And so that one's easily solved. But are there other solutions? Daniel, in this case, is what he did. He says, Mr. Eunuch, he says, let's try something. He says, let's just try something here for 10 days and let's see what happens. Can school boards do that? Can school boards try things for 10 days and see what happens? You can't always do that. But there are times when you need to make decisions about procedures, curriculum, that you... Now, don't hold yourself to this 10-day business, because what I do want you to hold yourself to is the idea that there's often more than one solution in math. There's many ways to get to the answer in math, but there's usually only one answer to it. But what you're trying to accomplish in your school, is there more than one way to get there? See, and be open to that. And as we think about trying to figure out what people's intentions are, why they're really there, what they came to resolve, and we sit down and we talked about that. One of the things I think that we need to learn to do is to give the Holy Spirit time to work, to change people's lives, minds. There is work that school board members need to do in relating procedure, operations, and then there are other times when you need to state that and you leave it rest and allow the Holy Spirit to work in maybe my life instead of theirs, change my mind instead of theirs. Now, when I say that, we need to be careful that we don't upturn what the whole board has already decided. That's a no-no, is to upturn that. And sometimes we try to do the work of the Holy Spirit instead of what I'm to be doing as a board member. One of our speakers at Winter Bible School, I thought, put it very well. He was talking about children and parents working with children, that sometimes parents try to force their children, you know, you're old enough now, it's about time you join the church. Maybe that's true, but we need to be careful that we don't step in the way, in the work of the Holy Spirit, and allow the Holy Spirit to give his directives in our functioning of the school. And as we run into these different conflicts, one of the other things that I think about as school board members that it's important for us to understand. Now I'm out of Daniel now. And in dealing with conflicts in the school, and when you're in a position of responsibility as on a school board, you are going to be misunderstood. I think I dare say that's not a threat. I think I dare say that's a promise. If you're on there very long at all, you will be misunderstood by parents, maybe even other board members. But there, again, is where we need to give time for the Holy Spirit to do its work. One of the marks of Christian maturity is the ability to be misunderstood without retaliation. And what I mean by that retaliation business is that if the board has made a decision and people shake their heads and can't figure out why in the world that the board ever made this particular decision, and you're called on the carpet for it, to go back and say, well, that was a board decision, and I support that, and stand there, regardless of all the bumps that come your way. There was no decisions. I'll take that back. There are very few decisions that can't be reversed if it's a wrong decision to begin with. Very few. They cannot be changed there. Okay. Anything that you would like to talk about in particular? Anyone?
You had mentioned that at some of these board meetings, parents are welcome to come to those board meetings for the first session of the meeting. Is that very normal, typical?
Okay, is your question, is that normal procedure for boards to allow parents to come to the beginning, or is your question, is it normal for parents to be there?
Both.
Let's take one at a time. How many serve on boards that at your meetings, even if it's only for a short portion, that the public is welcome? How many of you sit on boards like that? Okay. A few. How many of you sit on boards where they are not allowed to be there? Okay. How many sit on boards that it's never been discussed? Okay. Very few of them have even discussed it on that. Okay. For those of you that have board meetings where parents are invited to come for the first part, for whatever, how many of you have parents come more than twice a year? Okay, one. How many of you have meetings? Well, how many of you go a whole year and no parents show up? There's another one. As a general rule, I'd say the consensus here is parents don't come anyway. Why don't they? Where they're invited to, see. Those are some things maybe we need to look at. And I will say this, that on the time that it was on the board, usually when parents showed up, we knew it wasn't to tell us how good a job we were doing. But that's all right. Boards need more than being patted on the back. That's how we learn. I don't know about you folks, but I've learned more through adversity than what I did through blessing. Just to be honest about it, it seems like that's a human experience. It's something that we can expect, I think, to happen. Okay. Is there anything that I missed about being on the school board, especially for new members, new board members? What should we be expecting out of them? In a nutshell, I'm going to put it down this way. First meeting or two, I think it's good if we just sit there and listen to what's going on. But for the rest on the board, I think it's good if we get their opinion. So, well, what do you think anyway? I remember one particular board I was on, first meeting I was to. They had a discussion about something that I really didn't know what they were talking about. But the chairman looked at me and he says, Lee, he says, what's your opinion? He says, you don't have the rest of baggage hanging on you that we do. You see, there is, it's good to have new blood on our boards every so often, so that they don't have all the, if I can use the term, the old baggage hanging on there, that influences our decisions. See, some of those. The other thing that I think that we can do to help them is to encourage them to find out what our handbook says and what it means. Going back to that first thing that I read to you about law. Law is one of the most basic social institutions and one of the most necessary. It is very necessary for us to have a written procedure of how our schools ought to operate. And it's the board's responsibility to create that. It's the board's responsibility to interpret that. In other words, it's the board's responsibility to figure out what all of these things that we have in here, our school code, how that means that we're loving our neighbor as ourselves. That's really what that means. That's what it's all there for. Because no society can exist if all people did just as they pleased without regard for the rights of others. That's the reason we have this written down, is we have something that we can come back to. Here's what we agreed to. And it gives you more of a focus, more of a drive in one direction. Here is how we want to relate to this situation. Here is how we expect you to act in school. Here's how we expect you to come dressed to school. Here's how we expect you to address your teachers, etc., to the students. And for the parents, here's what we expect you to do for your children that you send to school. Here's what we expect out of you. Here's what you agree to. Those sort of things. And of course, the last sentence I have written there is, nor could a society exist if its members did not recognize that they also have certain obligations one toward another. When we learn that to love our neighbor as ourselves, that means we have obligations to each other. And that needs to be taught, as taught to the children, taught to one another. And as board members, it is our responsibility to interpret that handbook that we have. And when we interpret that, we interpret on the principle that we love our neighbor as ourselves, our teacher as myself, students as myself, parents as myself, etc. And also that it's within the framework of loving the Lord God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Society today believes in the idea that, by the way, that definition I just read you about law, that didn't come out of any religious magazine at all. That comes straight out of the World Book Encyclopedia. But I like it so well because it just restates what God has to say so well in our society today. But it gives no reference to God about it at all. It's human wisdom. But so much of good human wisdom comes right out of the scriptures anyway. But we need to recognize the author of it. Anybody else? Questions? Way back there. Okay, good question. Is it okay for new members to read old minutes to acquaint themselves? Let's have some discussion. Okay, I think it's good. Anyone else? Okay, most definitely they should. They're doing their homework. Good. Really, a lot of the things that we do and that we can stand on is because of history, of what has happened in history. How do we know how to relate to life today? Because we read about how people related thousands of years ago in the Scripture. See. History is very foundational to some of that. Okay, good. Anything else? Okay, that's good. You brought out a negative point that perhaps what if, as a board member, you're reading back through the old minutes and you discovered that your child had a problem and a discussion was had there. How are you going to relate to that? So I think that's good. My comment about that is to that, Glenn, is this, that how we relate to that probably is a good indicator of my maturity from then to now. That would be a negative. Yes, that would be a negative. Okay, if I'm hearing you right, you're saying that it ought not be a first revelation to me if I read them in the minutes. Somebody should have made me aware of that beforehand. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. There are graceful ways of writing minutes. Okay? Yes, it can alleviate some of those problems. Good. Yeah, okay. Your brother was mentioning that some of the details of who said what ought not be in there, but the decision can be in there, and that's fine. Good. Good thought. Anyone else? Say that again. Okay, should you have minutes from every individual board meeting now, to who? Okay. The question is, should there be minutes for every board meeting, for the board, or for the general public? I think most everybody, as I look over the crowd here, would say yes. And we should. We should have minutes of every meeting, or we're going to lose a continuity by missing a meeting. If you're like me, you don't retain everything. Okay. Anybody else have anything pressing? Yes, right here.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit the docforlearning.org.